Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today is Travis, and this is actually the last reoccurring weekly episode of Fireteam Chat. And just at the top of the show, I wrote a little something. We have some guests later. We have a lot of surprises for this episode, so please hang out. But I just wanted to extend my thanks to everybody who has watched. So I've had the pleasure of hosting Fireteam Chat since 2015. That's 7 calendar years of my life talking about Destiny. When Jose Otero, myself, and Alfredo Diaz talked about giving this a shot, I never would have, in my wildest expectations, expected it to do this well or go for this long. But we did one episode, then two, and now we're at episode 300. And the reason we kept it going this long is because you kept watching. So thank you. I want to thank every single person who's ever watched this show, left a positive comment, or asked why CJ wasn't on the YouTube banner yet. It has been an absolute pleasure working on this for you. And you're the reason we kept it going this long. The reason that I would record it during my personal time sometimes, or just work on the back end to make sure that the episode went up Fridays at 5. You've been nothing short of amazing. So thank you. To our many guests and co-hosts over the years, thank you for joining the show. To everyone at GuardianCon GCX, thank you for having us on your stage. And to everyone who's met us in person at that event, thank you for saying hello. You sometimes don't realize how much of an impact you have until you meet people in real life. Some of you have watched since high school, I've seen over the last few weeks. Some of you have had children while watching this show. Myself included. All I can say is that I hope you felt like you were part of our fire team while listening to the show. The goal was always to present the show as friends, sitting down to discuss the latest TWAB, or to help me through my weekly vault space therapy session. So I hope you felt like you were a part of the crew. While the weekly show may be ending, we will likely bring it back for major announcements, but this is a special send-off for something we built together. Us, you, and thank you for that again. Thank you to those of you who had the shows back from the start, namely Fran and Pear, to name a few, my co-hosts at the beginning. Without those two believing in it, though, without Jose and Alfredo, then Sean and Fran, then CJ and Steven, and then Paul, Brian, and Travis, the show wouldn't have existed. I'm humbled and thankful for all of you wanting to talk Destiny with me and making me part of your weekly traditions. Now let's complain about Destiny one last time for the weekly format, Travis.
Maybe not
complain, but let's celebrate what's going on this week one last time. You've developed a run of show, and you have a few surprises for me.
I do.
So why don't you take it away from here?
We're going to start off with something a little different. We will get back to doing news and talking about the recent stuff that happened in Destiny and some extra surprises. But first, I would like to cut to a Q&A session, and we're going to have some special guests. So here we go. Welcome to our segment, our Q&A on Fireteam Chat. We have some returning panelists here, and what we've done is gotten some questions from the community that we're going to have them answer. And so welcome to my guests here today. We've got our beloved returning cast members, Fran Mirabella. How you doing?
What's up, everybody?
Fran Grimes.
Yes.
We've got CJ Gibson as well.
What's happening? Good to be back. And again, congratulations, Destin. Destin's got, he's a baby now, the father. So it's pretty crazy to do this.
Yep. And then we've got Steven Rio.
C-team.
C-Team, still repping Malkowitz, as always. And then you know the rest of the panel. It's myself, Ty Guy Travis, McClunky. We've got Destin Legarry.
Hi.
You know him. And Paul Tassi, our friend at Forbes.
Hello. There he is. Good to be here.
Cool. So, guys, we have a pretty full house here. I'm just going to dive right into it. And I pulled these questions from the community. Some of them came from Twitter. Some of them were people who reached out to me directly since I put out a call for questions. The first one I have is for CJ. I think you probably knew this question was going to happen at some point during the show, which is Carlos Distis asked on Twitter, what is it like working on Bungie? Can you tell us about some anecdotes of making the transition or working there? For those of you who don't know, CJ worked at Bungie for a while, which was kind of crazy because he was on Fireteam Chat before then. So he's kind of our connect.
There you go. Well, it was very cool. Obviously, a tremendous amount of talent at the studio. I think so. Fran, Destin, and I had been there before on early IGN first. I'm blanking now. It was like probably early 2007, right before Taken King. Yeah. Well, I mean, Destin way back for Destiny 1.
Sorry, I meant 17. Well, yeah, for Destiny 2.
I was there for the alpha with Brian and James Faulkner.
Right. Oh,
wow. That was the first time I ever went there. That was before the game was out. With Ryan McCaffrey.
Right, right. And so I was there in 2017, just pre-Taken King with you guys. And so it was awesome. Obviously, tons of talent at the studio, a lot of history. I think when you're obviously media going into that, the first feeling you have is you're going through and you're like, is somebody going to stop me? And there's a lot of BTS stuff where you're looking at it and you're going, I shouldn't be seeing this. And for the first like month or two, I absolutely felt like that. There was just a lot of stuff in development. And you know, obviously can't share those details, very secretive, but a lot of stuff that I had been, looking at behind the scenes, all out now, Beyond Light, Shadowkeep, but it was really cool. So just the first few days, weeks, you just kind of walk around the studio and you're like, wow, this is pretty cool. But, there's amazing people there. And obviously, we're all fans of Destiny because of all the passion and energy they put into the game. So, but it's really cool.
Did you just walk around going, spoilers, spoilers?
Yeah,
that's why you had to leave, right?
Yeah,
he didn't want to see it.
Like, well, listen, I was like, okay, I can't say this, I can't say that. So it does change the dynamics of obviously conversations because, I still watch the show every now and then. And when I did, I was like, oh,
yeah. CJ, he took off the one. CJ's the one that created stasis.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. When he first got on the show today, he was wearing his Destiny 3 shirt and I was like, CJ.
That's right.
Take that off.
Call me. Yeah. No. But when you start understanding the people who are involved, like who does the world art, and you think of, for me, like I think of names. So as you look at like the activity side of the game, you look at the the systems of the game, and obviously I think people know like the usual suspects, Lars, Mark, Luke. There's a lot of people who've been there for a number of years, Steve Cotton, Scott as well. But there's so many people behind the scenes. I think that was the most amazing thing when you just walked around and you're like, oh man, it takes a lot to make a game like that.
See how many people are back there.
Yeah. It's pretty phenomenal.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I assume that's probably the extent to which you can tell us about your time at Bungie. So we'll
that's
leave
pretty
it there.
Much it. Yep.
Cannot believe you confirmed Old Chicago. Thank you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
You just did. Right. Get the headline ready. Another topic that came up a ton when I put out a request for questions was a lot of people remember the very infamous, and I was a listener back when this happened, the infamous debate between Destin and Fran about power per hour from The Last Wish. And the one question that I thought was really would be fun to discuss was from Mark Wanton, who on Twitter asked, in retrospect, who won the power per hour debate? Do you stand by your stance on that issue? And do you think, now that you've had some time to process it, who was right in that discussion?
I think we're all still losing that battle.
Okay.
I can say this about Last Wish and that race. That will go down in history as one of my favorite raid races ever. We finished in the top 100. I'm really, really proud of what our team was able to accomplish. And I don't think any raid ever recaptured that feeling. Maybe because we never placed this highly.
Because you didn't get the top 100 again.
Yeah, we never got the top 100 again. But man, Last Wish was really, really a special raid that I really, really enjoyed. And that's my stance on it.
I think that's the perfect segue into it. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know that anybody won or lost it. To refresh folks, the conversation was, Destin and I full-time jobs and more at IGN. I was putting in 5, sometimes 6 hours a night, staying up till 3 a.m. Destin was doing roughly the same, but he was playing at work as well. But regardless, he put in a ton of time. I think inevitably more hours than me. But the point is, I had put in a lot. I put in something like 50 hours to prepare for Last Wish. And then there was a pinnacle bug or two, and there was some other issues that we just couldn't progress because of power. And I was like, man, how many hours do I have to play to prepare for this raid? So that's what it was all about. It was the beginning of talking about how do we get to contest, actually. And it's funny. I always think about going back to the episode I was talking about. I'm like, I wish they just had a system for this, like this grind to like, you know, fix it so we don't have to worry about power. They eventually addressed that, you know, about a year later. So I felt vindicated that, you know, they were listening to, of course, to the, you know, maybe to us, but also everybody in the community saying, look, I got a job. And the other thing that they did is raids are on Saturdays a lot now. And again, not everybody works and lives at the same time, but that was huge. Two things that I look at as vindicated and won that battle for me. Like, they've looked at power per hour, I think somebody's got that number at Bungie. I would love them to share it someday, what they expect you to do. You know, I still track it, by the way. I'm known as the spreadsheet guy, because anytime there's a big release, I'm tracking like how many on the average, not optimal. When you watch a YouTube video, they tell you how fast you can do it in 20 minutes, but they don't count, you know, going to grab lunch and sleeping and everything in between. But in any event, it was a super fun discussion, and I think that is my favorite episode. It was
so much fun. Yeah, like it was that moderation. That was the first time I got a chance to go, okay, I'm hearing both of you. You're kind of saying the same things, but you're just both in different spaces in a way. And now that
really disagreeing with Destin.
Well, I know that, but it's like that now that Destin has a child, yeah, like Destin has a baby now. It's hilarious to have this conversation and watch all these shows now with this context. Because hard to do these things, Destin, now that there's a child in the equation?
You know what? I recently did Vault of Glass week 1, and I have a child. So
there you go.
How I managed to do it, but they've also changed the system. The systems are different.
That's true.
I will give you this one. I will give you this one, Fran. Doing it on a Saturday is the right move. Like a weekend raid is great. Like there's no arguing that. I don't think.
I think Saturday morning.
To draw it full circle, though, I was mad. I still can't convince him to this day. I'm like, of course you were fine with it because you finished it. Had you not placed in the top 100, you would have been bitter as heck, and you would have complained. But that's how Destin is. He's happy because he's happy.
Open up old wounds. Wow. It's like we just picked it right up off that episode, and we're still...
I know. Yeah, it's not because of like the teamwork or like the hours we put in or like figuring it out before, you know, most of the other people. And it's none of that. Yeah. It's definitely just because.
Just saying, had anything gone wrong, would have been a bitter pill to swallow after all those hours. But
fair enough.
Isn't this great, Steven?
Wait, like, Fran, who did you raid with, Fran?
Yeah, didn't you say?
I got it.
You LFG'd a team. Let me refresh the record. I'm pretty sure you LFG'd it.
It was 100. Dude, that's Fred. No, it was a team I played with a lot. It was like Michael and Click It. The people I had been playing with.
Well,
that's
the problem right there. You got Click It. Yeah.
It wasn't about not finishing. God, it was about how 50 hours and I didn't have enough power. It was so out of control. I was underleveled.
I feel that. Okay, so Steven, I got a question for you now.
Oh, yeah.
A fan of yours on Twitter. Darth Yolo 515 asks, are you the best PV player on Fireteam Chat? And who on this panel do you think would give you the biggest run for your money in a 1v1?
PvP?
Yeah.
So I think, I'm definitely the best PvP player on PC.
Interesting answer.
The person that's given me, or that would give me the most trouble is definitely CJ. I've lost to CJ maybe twice.
How many times have you beaten him?
I don't remember how many times I've beaten him, though.
Oh, listen now.
Spreadsheet.
So ironically, the two times that we were playing, I was recording for a show, and so I beat Steven on camera two times. But yes, I will concede that we would often play one-on-one to just sharpen our PvP skills, test out like IS Luna, you know, Ace of Spade range, whatever else we were doing. And then it was a... Telesto,
The two times CJ beat me, it was the Mida sidearm meta.
It was and I last hoped him and sniped him last to death. Hope. It was That's great. It was. Last hope. It was fantastic. Yep. Yeah, you can watch it. It's there's a replay of it somewhere. I think in a hockey.
That's
episode.
How often it happens. Like entombed in a museum nearby.
No, but Steven absolutely is like a, you know, a very like very competitive, skilled PvP player. It was one of those reasons why when we were playing Destiny super early on, where we just met and he reached out to Fran and I to do a trials run early on, so the connection to Steven to IGN was actually through playing PvP and trials. So, you know, it's crazy to think about that, just, you know, coming full circle. And now, you know, it was just, we all hang out now.
Good old trials.
Yeah. Good old
trials.
That's
awesome. So you guys met through the game and then he ended up working with you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Through Fran's stream.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, yeah. I think it was, wasn't it? When I was playing trials. Yeah. With CJ, yeah. I think probably.
Yeah. Fran was like assessing him up, going like, oh, I need like, you know, some people to help me out. But I know he was valuing like the skill level of these people. He's like, well, no,
I remember. Time. Funny story. I remember.
I was always looking for the carry.
I remember the first time I was in Fran's stream. And I was a fan of Fran, so I was like, Fran, you want to play trial sometime? And then he goes, well, I don't know. I usually have a team. I need to see your KD first. and then there was like a command in his chat.
I didn't say it like
no,
that.
No, you did. No. You totally did. And there was a
no,
command.
I did not.
There was a command in your channel where you could like look up someone's KD. So I typed my name in. And it said like 2.3 or something. And Fran's like, oh, well, I think I've got time now if you want to play.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, I didn't. It was all about the time. Absolutely. I was like, yeah, I wanted to know that the carry was likely to happen. Dude, trials was so frustrating, especially I was not very good. I, you know, absolute worst player, but I was not very good. And thank you for the carry stuff. We get it. You're good.
It happened later. I took him up first. I was like, oh, I got this guy. Yeah. Let's go, Steven.
Good time.
Fran, you've gotten a lot better. And CJ, thanks for that Skolas carry in PvE, by the way.
Way back when. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to get the job at IGN after that.
One of the few times I rage quit. We were stuck on Skolas for, what, an hour and a half?
I think so. And I think it was like arc burn. And so there was a couple times where you could actually, yeah, you could like, there's a containment chamber where you could like swap people in and out like after a wipe. And so I had came in and I was jumping in for a little bit, and Destin, I wasn't working at the time at IGN, and I was like, oh, Destin, maybe I'll connect with him, maybe, you know, we'll have a good Destiny session here. Gosh, that did not go well. Totally rage quit. Didn't hear from him for a few weeks after. So, but I mean, that's kind of standard Destiny.
Good thing we already knew each other.
Yeah, when you have those moments, you just need a little space apart, you know, you'll mend the relationship after, but sometimes it just takes a little time.
That's awesome. So speaking of people that have met through the game and through Fireteam chat, one of the questions we got a lot, and hey_Blaze on Twitter wanted to ask Destin if Teddy actually exists.
Nope. Next question.
Teddy.
Nope. Next question. All right. Not a real person.
He's been in a bunch of photos with us. Like, you
know. Who?
Someone's really good at Photoshop out there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Teddy.
No, but real question that we had, one person, F5 all day wants to know how much vault space is enough, Destin. Like, you've been asking for vault space forever, right? They want to know how much is enough. Like, what Bungie, point will please. You be like, all right, there's enough vault space.
Oh, I've got
Let me
answer.
Say, Destiny is not the only game that suffers from this problem. It's like a mechanics issue that's sort of a holdover from just game design that I really feel like we should be able to address. Being able to put like something in your collection is one that's been suggested for years. I would love that. I think Destiny's gotten a lot closer to having something like that. I know I've went through now with transmog, as controversial as it is, at least there is a system to retain your armor, right? So how many spaces is enough? Infinite. Like, honestly, it just shouldn't be a thing, in my opinion.
Awesome.
It's funny. We mostly agree. Yeah, the vault, man, is a rough space. I think it gives your gear meaning, but think of the last time we had an update to the vault. Is kind of crazy.
Yeah, so like, what do you think about that, Fran? Because like, with vault space, should it be infinite, or is it a intentional game design choice to make you make choices about what you keep?
To make you delete roles that you have, that you chase new roles because they want in part you to not use old stuff, and we see them making us chase new stuff. But you can't have infinite space, otherwise nothing has meaning.
Well, that's what sunsetting was going to do. Was sunsetting was going to force you to clear everything out for the most part. And now it's like, well, guess we probably do need some more space at this point, because otherwise, you know, we're going to cap out really quick when we're sunsetting. So
I think they're counting on the new role meta stuff to hopefully solve that. It's like, well, this is a dead. And that's the thing that I'm getting at, because whatever, quick draw doesn't work as well anymore, or whatever they do, you finally get to the point you say, I'm going to delete that hand cannon, but then you chase a new one. And that's where they want to have it.
And then they rebuff quick draw, and you're like, no, I shouldn't have deleted it.
That's right. And you chase the new one, but it actually comes with a new perk, like Frenzy, or whatever, and that makes it worth it. And
there needs to be, I think 750 is a good number.
Or even 7999. I know it's not enough. Find you like
7999.
Yeah,
7777.
So I'm super OCD about my vault. Like, I'll delete anything that I know I'm never going to use, including like armor pieces. And I'm always hovering around 480 out of 500, which is
forcing you.
Yeah, and once Witch Queen comes out, that number is going to balloon for sure.
Oh, Steven, you're wearing the Destiny 2 shirt, Steven. I just noticed that. My vault is, I think, at 499. I have one space, so I can transfer things through DIM back and forth as required. So it's, it's so funny listening to these conversations, because I now understand what happens. So
studio reaction.
Yeah, and but it's interesting. I mean, these challenges, I think, have been there for Destiny for a long time. And the biggest thing is, if you think even back when Destiny 1 was around, in the early part of the game without DIM, and some of those, like, you know, third party things, even the Bungie app, like, just those small system updates, like, oh, you don't need to go to the tower now, and you can go right to a different destination. Like, there's been so many improvements, because every improvement requires new challenges, new things. You're right. Like, oh, you buff this, you nerf this. It will always be that game that's evolving. And so I've definitely accepted that. Would I like more vault space? Absolutely. That is Destiny, right?
I think you're being very nice about it, but the vault is not evolving. We're not getting new filters. No. There's no new systems. It's stuck at 500.
Do we want more space? Absolutely. Now, so. We need more space. I would advocate for that as well, too.
More
features, too. Well, yeah. They've readjusted the UI sometimes, right? Like, you can search them from rarity and rarity. Who does that? Yeah. But there is a lot of, think about how many times the UI has changed. Like, there's obviously even been like quest log changes. There's been, the battle pass got introduced, Shadow Keep. So there's just a number of systems that change. But you're right. Would I like more vault space? Absolutely. I don't think anybody's gonna argue that one.
Yeah. speaking of improvements to Destiny, one of the questions was about how over the years this panel has asked many things of Bungie, sometimes looking into the camera and going so far as to say, Bungie, please, which is the old internet request. And the question was, how many Bungie please requests on Fireteam Chat have actually come true over the years? To introduce the segment, we actually have a clip from another guest, which we are ready to roll. Let's roll it.
What's up, Fireteam Chat? It's me, Sean Finnegan, a.k.a. The Shark, back to weigh in on some Destiny like the good old days. I've been asked by CJ to come on and address a very specific issue, and that's that Bungie integrated transmogrification. What? After all these years of me talking about WoW on Fireteam Chat, it looks like they finally listened and put in a feature that everyone wanted, and now we don't have to look dumb while we level up. That's amazing. In all seriousness, I wanted to congratulate the hosts of Fireteam Chat on wrapping up the weekly format of the show. Y'all know that Fireteam Chat for me was such a big part of my time at IGN, and I love it, and I love the game, and I love the community, and I love that the show was such a big part of that community. It was really a special thing. So thank you for all that. Best of luck to y'all in the future. And to all the rest of you Guardians up there, eyes up, get good, Guardians out.
Naturally, the Shark's looking a little gray. I mean, we've all aged a little bit, but I got a chance.
It's like the Macho Man of the show.
Exactly.
Let me tell you something. Get good. Transmog has finally come.
But it was good to catch up with Sean just a little while ago. For everybody else who's waiting, there it is. which I've done that probably, I think like a few thousand times. I mean, between Duggan and Sean, I think they've all mentioned WoW on the show. I lost count.
I used to have a bell for it that I would hit on my phone like, sometimes.
Ding. but no, it was good. And Sean and I just caught up like a few days ago. And when I hit him up, he was obviously busy, but yeah, sent a little message. So, you know, he didn't do the chomp. It's like, bro, he didn't do the chomp.
I'm surprised.
That was like his thing.
Yeah.
Chomp, chomp.
I have one and it's fairly recent for me. And it's very, like, I was very much an advocate for not doing sunsetting from day one, and I got a ton of crap for it. So for them to say, yeah, okay, that's a bad idea, and get rid of it, I was very, very happy about that. I like what they're doing instead, and, you know, we'll see how everything goes into the future, but I'm very happy that sunsetting did not happen.
Nice.
Yeah. Steven, did also, you have I one? Did. I mean, oh. this. I don't know if this is like a specific Bungie please, but I've really been hoping over the months and years that they would figure out different ways to tell stories in game rather than having just us read the lore all the time. Clearly, especially the last three seasons, they have really elevated that and figured out a ton of different ways to tell story, culminating in, I mean, this week alone is probably one of the best story weeks we've ever seen from the game. So they have really improved by leaps and bounds there. So that's been very cool to see.
Awesome. I hope someone from Bungie is watching this, because I want to say thank you so much for finally allowing us to preview every shader in the game at once.
Yes.
I've been asking for this for, I think, a couple years now. It was mind-boggling to me that you could only preview the amount of shaders that you had on your character, and you had to either transfer or dismantle your shaders to pull in other shaders to preview. And now you could just look at them all at one time, and it's glorious. I think I spent.
And you had to apply it.
I've spent. One, you know? Oh yeah, for sure. I've spent more hours looking at shaders this season than actually playing.
I believe Steven. Between Steven and Fran, there's the Tower Casuals and that whole fashion game that I've never seen two people do that as much.
Oh
as
god, guys. it's the greatest quality of life improvement ever.
So yeah. has Dresdeny replaced the friend game as the end game?
Oh, for sure. 100%.
Amazing. Okay, let's jump into some questions about... Oh, wait. Do we have one more? Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. I forgot about this question, which I kind of gave you guys a preview of. But Manio on Twitter wants to know, how long has it taken all of the past and current members of Fireteam Chat to get added to the YouTube banner for Fireteam Chat? And CJ, you're shaking your head. I think I know you have an anecdote here.
I think Destin was just upset at me that time we couldn't beat that Prison of Elders match. So
he kept him off the banner.
I didn't really care or think about any of that stuff. But it turned into like a funny joke. And then it culminated in, I think, the time when Sean left, Destin actually put the FTC banner over my face or something like that in the thumbnail, which everybody had a really good laugh at. But I was definitely the longest, like a year and a half, I think I'd been on the show, but I did start as like a replacement because at the time, Jose, way back when, shout out to Jose, who was initially the host, I maybe for like a few days before Destin took over, I just wanted to jump on the show and be involved. And so my first episode was actually when Destin, and I think Sean, you were at an event, and Fran and I and Bife actually were on it. It was like a Valentine's Day one.
I remember
I was like the rotating guest who came in and out. So I never thought anything of it, because to me it was just like, oh, it was like Sean, Destin, and Fran. So yeah, I didn't really think about it, but then it just turned into a joke after a while.
Yeah. Well, but Destin, the best part was, I know Destin thinks the same. It's like, you're on the show every week. Fine. Like, we'll put you on the banner. We got to submit a design request and get
exactly.
it up there. Like, fine. But like, whatever. You're literally on the video on the show every week. But
yeah.
I literally just had to Google it to like check. And sure enough, I didn't make the cut. But the fact that I didn't even know that until right this moment.
Oh, fall.
I'm not that offended.
Took me 2 years, Paul. So 2 years.
Destin really liked me. So he added me within like a month of me on the show. But funny story, I don't know if I'm sure maybe some of the audience doesn't know this. The getting added to the banner is not a good thing, because everyone who gets added to the banner leaves the company.
Oh, yeah.
Very, I said that in the group very chat. Soon. It's almost like I don't know if you guys know this, but in the NBA, there's a Coach of the Year award. And every time a coach wins that, they get fired within 2 years. So it's almost that.
There's that in the chair. So I think I actually pinned or liked a comment where when Fran left, somebody said like, oh yeah, like that's the chair. Nobody sit there. And then Sean sat in that chair and then he left. And then I sat in the chair and that's what's going on. It's that like middle section.
For the chair.
So a few funny stories about that. A, I kept CJ off the banner as a joke, like an internal joke, as long as I possibly could. And then after a while, I was like, all right, the joke's run its course. It's been a few years. I guess we can have it. And then he quit.
I was there for a few months.
When I added Brian, I actually originally photoshopped in a very tiny Brian face in the far right-hand corner. I told him, what, you're on the banner? It's like that. That's just sort of how I joke around with everybody behind the scenes, you know.
Well, because Brian didn't Brian was like a producer in the background, never wanted to come on usually unless you know he was available.
He still doesn't want to come on. Yeah, he's on the show.
Yeah, and then for the IGN page, we have like a page for Fireteam Chat. I just never updated it.
Is it still CJ?
I think it's still me, Fran, and Sean, and maybe CJ got added.
It is. It's the one I tweeted. It's like we're like I was like looking to the camera sultry, and you guys are holding the last word. It's like it's basically like a Desperate Housewives shot of all of us. It looks really
yeah. So I just left it. I just thought it was funny. I don't know. I guess I'm a jerk. I'm sorry, you guys.
No, dude, it was funny.
Fran, is that your pose, Fran?
Turn it.
He's looking.
I was trying to remember the exact URL that we used for those other video series pages. I know the ones you're talking about.
Yeah.
That was good. That's funny. All good fun.
Awesome. Yeah. So to wrap up the section talking about the show, before we jump into some questions about Destiny, the last question is: what's your best memory of being on Fireteam Chat? If there's any anecdotes we can throw out there besides not getting placed on banners or shouting at each other about power per hour.
The best episode, though?
No, the best memory episode. Or the best episode?
Your best memory. But
well, I could start. There's a few really easy ones that I could talk about off the top of my head. Fran and going to Guardian Con. First, like, I'm actually kind of shy at first when I'm in big settings like that. So we went to Guardian Con, and I think Fran and I went to the chicken wing place next door. And I'm like, you know, I don't think anyone's going to recognize me. I just want to get some wings and sort of hang out with the community. And everybody recognized both of us, and they were coming up and saying hello. And it's just a really humbling experience. And then getting to go back to Guardian Con and GCX and just get to hang out with the community, that's definitely something that will always be special, a special memory in my mind, because later on it was like me, Fran, CJ, and Steven, and we would share a Airbnb or something, you know, and just a lot of good times there. Getting to hang out with the community is really special. And for the last one, I actually went with my wife, so that was cool. She had a great time.
Awesome.
She was cool. Like, oh, Paul, do you have any celebrity?
Yeah, well, that builds off that one, because that was I was in the audience for the last one where you came with your wife, and seeing you guys up on stage, and then like a year later, I was actually invited to be on the show. So it was kind of wild to make that transition, as I'm sure Travis can relate to this too, where just going from, you know, longtime fan to actually being invited as a guest, then being invited back to kind of be a recurring co-host. And it's been really fantastic. And like, I've been watching all of you guys over the years. So even being here right now is pretty surreal with you. And it's been a lot of fun to take part in.
Paul, so humble. He's super famous. It's like,
okay.
you're like the Destiny guy software now, Paul.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Yeah. The guy's on fire.
Memeing on Twitter.
Yeah, and it was cool for you guys to like come in and keep it going. I mean, it was, you know, we've all had, I think, special memories. So it was, it was neat to see the transition part of it.
Yeah. It's hard to beat GCX and people, you know, meeting, you know, friends of the community and fans of the show and all the above. And so, yeah, it's going to be hard to top that one. I still, from a memory, you know, point of view, like the show is all in fun, and the power per hour, last wish discussion, all that. Those were some of the just most fun episodes for me, because I think every time we did it, people would actually think we're like, we were mad at each other. And I, as you see, like, I like to have a spirited discussion. When people disagree, I like to, I'll talk it out till we're blue in the face, you know? And so for me, the last wish discussion was really good. The follow-up as well, I believe, where we like set up the debate. It was still weird, in my opinion, like kind of a little, like, it was a good setup, but it wasn't quite authentic. Like, we were sort of assigned partners to debate the topic, but it was a really
Renee,
fun time.
Right? It was great having her on.
Andrew's on the show. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. CG, anything
and
for
she
you?
She never came back.
Yeah,
her invite got lost, right?
She was never added to the banner, so she's like, screw exactly.
I have one more. I'm surprised you guys didn't bring up. CJ, did you have one you wanted to go with, though?
You know what? Not specific. I think that just looking back, just being part of the Destiny community and everything, just interacting. I remember when we produced episode 100 and we had Deej and Chris Barrett on. So even stuff like that, like looking way back, having Bungie involved in the shows was always cool. We talked to them at E3, you know, sometimes with Deej, sometimes with other developers. And so, yeah, just those interactions and even like the Destiny 2 reveal and Gamescom. So yeah, there's too many to name, but I think, yeah, those are super special when Bungie was involved. And then, yeah, just meeting all the community. I can't tell you how many times that just interacting with members of the community, like you know, when Paul said that, like, oh, I watched you guys for a number of years. Yeah, when we went to Guardian Con, that was surreal to me as well. It's just like, why? I just never understood it. Like, I joke that I'm like just like this boring Canadian, you know, who like ums and ers and a's and o's. And these are all the things that, you know, people now do to me jokingly, but it's kind of like this weird sense of community that you kind of create. And so, absolutely, I think that's only really happened for me a few times in gaming, and it has been Bungie Games. I had that where you met people from, you know, playing Halo 2 and 3. And then, yeah, you meet up with people in real life, even hire them to work with you at a company. And that's pretty surreal. It's not a lot of the times I've had that experience from a game. But from Fireteam Chat, too many members just being involved in the show.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a great run.
That's what I was going to say. It was like, it's way too hard to pick. Like you mentioned the Valentine's Day show, which was awesome. We did a completely different setup. You know, I was messing with production as I often like to do, but the Bungie stuff had come to mind. And then I was like, which is it? Is it E3 Live? Is it the Gamescom episodes? Like, it was always a pleasure to be on with Bungie because, you know, we both knew it was a special privilege. We also had to be respectful of like, why don't you fix the vault, you idiots? You know, like it was always a respectful and productive discussion, but to do that is harder than you'd think because they also are only allowed to say so much, as you know. And so anyway, it too hard to choose. You know, I think 300 episodes proves it. There's too many to choose from.
I mean,
anytime Scott was on the
Scott
show.
Scott is hilarious. Scott definitely was a guest for a few times in Gamescom. Yeah. The Shake Shack, you know, connoisseur, gotta give him a shout out.
Destin, did we?
Go ahead.
Wait, with Scott, I'm trying to remember, did we actually, I can't remember if we put it on the show where we photoshopped. Was it him in the background?
Yeah, his face.
Was that Deej or was it Scott?
No, it was Scott. So we used Scott's face because when we were at Gamescom, it was an episode that I produced. We couldn't scale like Deej's picture up. And so we had this massive photo of Scott on the set and this tiny little photo of Deej that we couldn't scale up. So later we ended up putting Scott on the whole thing. And he actually had that as his banner, I think his Twitter banner for like something like that. So, but yeah, I think
they send out these press kits and they have these giant photos of Scott. Yeah. And I'm like, what am I going to do with these? Like, what am I going to do with these headshots? You know, so we made a joke of it. It was fun.
Fran, I will say one of the memories that I think is memorable for a bunch of people was the E3 where we were all on. We were excited. We got some new Destiny details and things like that. I think it was, you know, Gambit and right after Forsaken. And there was also a pretty big movie that was out at the time. And so Sean was using an analogy, an example, and he like basically almost spoiled Avengers for Fran.
He did spoil.
And we had
someone
like
who died in
it
Infinity
and cut
War.
It out. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God.
It was a year old
just linked away then.
Yeah. It was so
it
good.
Doesn't, he
so
literally
that
just
memory.
Throws it out there. And you see the look on my face. It's like, hello, darkness, my old
friend. You should have left it.
But I'm also seething, like seething.
Yeah.
And they can tell I'm trying to keep it together.
That was good awesome.
One. That was legendary.
That's great. Steven, do you have any?
Not a specific, like not just one specific memory, but definitely just being a part of a show where you can really tell everyone on the panel really was passionate about the game, knew a lot about the game. And I think the most awesome part was we were all in the same office, but we would never talk about anything Destiny related until that show happened, and that's when all the opinions and all the hot takes would come out. And it's just like everyone had their own corner and everyone you know had their disagreements and agreements, and I think that just created a super cool dynamic where because you know you watch shows and everyone's agreeing with each other and it's not that entertaining. But then our show, definitely there was fireworks. Sean Finnegan always threw hot takes out. Fran and Destin had their infamous quarrels. CJ and I had our crazy quarrel one time. But yeah, just being part of that dynamic and just everyone being super passionate about it, you can tell we all love Destiny, and that being a part of that was fantastic.
Awesome. Cool. Let's move on to some questions about Destiny. So we have a lot of these as well. The first one, submitted by Trent Stewart, is it seems like every couple of years there's a quote Destiny killer that comes out that only has short-term success for the most part. What do you think is special about Destiny that's kept it alive for so much longer and so much stronger than a lot of these, you know, would-be killers of Destiny? What do you think the magic is?
Because this is my entire beat where all I do is cover potential Destiny killers that all fail. I think it's two things mainly. First and foremost, it's the gunplay from Bungie. I don't think any studio can match that in terms of the genre. And even if you're going to like a third person shooter, it's just, you know, you might have good gunplay there, but Bungie is, you know, coming from the Halo pedigree, and they have just been able to produce a game that is just entirely fun to play kind of each time you pick it up. So you have that as a baseline, and then you combine that with the fact no one else can really make ongoing content kind of at this pace, at this scale, at this general sense of quality. We have seen all the, you know, quote, Destiny killers. This is what they've struggled with, I think, the most, is they have a roadmap, or, you know, they're trying to be like, we're not live service, but they're never able to kind of produce an ongoing content past the initial campaign and maybe a DLC or two that rivals Destiny and gets people coming back. And it's crazy that Bungie is where they are now, where their seasons are now kind of the best they've ever been, almost. Like, they are, they found a groove that even before this, people couldn't match. And, you know, people will, I think you're going to see less and less games trying, because so many have failed and it is so like hard and expensive to try and do this. But I don't think that, you know, Bungie will have Destiny continue on for a very long time. So I don't think we have anything to worry about there.
Yeah, I was going to say that's exactly it. But people, I think they just really forget 2014 when Bungie was launching this huge promise AAA experience. We saw a lot of stuff that didn't come to fruition and people were very upset. And the difference is that Bungie dug their heels in and they stuck with it. And yeah, they spent a ton of money and a ton of time. We're going on 7 years. And that is exactly, you know, I think what Paul was summing up is like, these games do it and then they forget you're in for that tough lesson. How can you look at all these games and you expect that that's just not going to happen, that your loot system's not going to be right, that there's not enough content, and like, people are going to be upset. But the difference is it took a year for Destiny really to come around, to even start to come around. And like I said, 7 years, so that you have to stick with it. And I haven't seen many people do that. It's been interesting to see Avengers really trying to still go in that direction. I was surprised after what really looked like a very thin launch. And other games like Division, I think, though, have actually done a pretty good job overall. The difference is the amount of investment. So nobody's investing like Bungie is. But I'd actually say if I had to choose, not, and I got to exclude Warframe because I'm not a Warframe player, but I know people speak fairly highly of it. But Division actually has done really amazing things. They just haven't kept up the pace that Destiny has.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, well, real quick, Travis, I'll just throw in my two cents. It's just the gameplay is really solid. Yeah, granted, we just went through a terrible period of stasis nightmare fuel, but for the most part, the gunplay is really, really good. And that's like Paul said, that's what it is. It's really good gunplay. The maps and the world design is gorgeous. Nothing short of gorgeous. The storytelling has been getting much better, especially this last season. And I still would like to see the storytelling interwoven a bit better, but all that stuff, like compiled, keeps players coming back. And the fact that people were so mad about stasis, as mad as the community gets about any of the changes, they care. And that's why they're mad, right? That's why I complain about Vault Space every week, because I actually care enough to be mad about it. It's when you become apathetic that it becomes problematic. And people really care about Destiny, and Destiny is really, really something special.
Agreed.
This is where I plead the fifth, so we'll just
CJ's like, it's all doomed. No.
He hasn't been gone for Bungie that long. Yeah, give it a few more years.
I'll try to. Here's a question you can't answer, CJ. One of the questions Ryan Smokala asks: what are everyone's raid rankings as of Season of the Splicer? Now that we've gotten Vault of Glass back, so maybe you don't have to do all the raids, but if you could do your top three of all the raids that we've gotten so far.
So we did this once at Guardian Con, and I can't remember what the actual list was that we came up with. We did it kind of as like a collective group vote, and I think there was obviously some nostalgia in there mixed in too. So, and it was a little while back, so I can't remember what raids were. And
we have more raids now, though. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. But I'll say this. I think there's just, for me, the duration of the raids is less important than the actual sort of feeling and the, you know, the camaraderie and some of those experiences. And I think with Destiny 2, a lot of the raids became very mechanical, you know, from a voice and a communication standpoint. Not that's a bad thing. I think that it's just, it changed the feeling a little bit. There is a part of me that I think appreciated some of the early Destiny raids, like, you know, Vault of Glass, Crota, and King's Fall. Just for some of those, I don't need a headset. If I'm looking around, I understand what's happening in the space. I just know this is the thing I need to do. Or, you know, when you're watching like the sword bearer, like crush Crota, it's like, oh, that's a hero moment for that guy. So I don't have like an actual ranking, but I think that I would say I do like Vault of Glass, obviously. Crota, it's still like I got a soft spot for it. And Argos, when we played Argos, I felt like Argos had the same type of thing. I felt like you didn't need the verbal communication. You could actually have like a situational awareness presence for everything that was going on. And then something was bad was happening. Oh, like you got trapped. You could like help your friend out, or, oh, we didn't cook this thing right. So let's like take this, you know, cranium on the other side. So it relied a little less on communication because you're, you know, like in Leviathan, you're like split from a different world. So you had to actually talk and kind of figure out what you're seeing or how to, you know, like, how, like look at the Last Wish one, like bird facing down to the right. Like, I remember there's so many things that I was just like, what is happening in this raid from a call out standpoint, like even the eyes. So I definitely think, yeah, those three are special for me.
King's Fall and Last Wish. That's the correct answer. Sorry, CJ.
Okay. Right, there you go. I got it.
You missed one. Wrath of the Machine as well.
Vault for me. Yeah, you really like Wrath of the Machine. I remember you saying that.
Wrath of the Machine, King's Fall, and Last Wish are the top three raids.
Yeah, I'm
not in that order. Not in that order. Just those. I think those three raids are masterpieces.
Yeah, those are some of mine too. But actually, I really give a lot of credit to Deepstone Crypt. I think, you know, it's always hard to rank raids because you got to look at them like, what was your first experience like? And also, what is the replay experience like? And I think it gets tough when you get into criteria, but Deepstone Crypt is such a beautiful raid and, you know, the big magical moment and the spacewalk. And,
maybe not mechanically, but like thematically, that is probably one of the top.
But I give him credit too, though, for I like the, you know, the way they did mechanics in terms of the way people work together, like everybody plays a part, which is something they've been working towards in that one. And, but yeah, I mean, fondly, definitely like King's Fall is just always at the top for me. It's kind of sentimental. Probably. I bet you I'd go back and be more frustrated, but I love that and can't wait for it to come back to the Legends archive now. I'm sure it will in the future.
My favorite thing was to tell blueberries to go get the orb and that'll start the mechanic and then Oryx.
I'm trying to think, but off the top of my head, King's Fall is the only raid that was actually tied into that season's campaign, correct? Right?
Well, I would say Crypt. Deepstone, yeah.
Well, with Deepstone, like, kind of a side story. Like, where did Tanix come from? I'm talking about in that campaign, it was Oryx, and then that raid's boss was Oryx.
Oh, I see where the boss is.
Crota's End was also.
The boss was Crota's
End. Yeah, Crota's End too.
Yep.
So I'll give King's Fall extra brownie points for that.
Yeah, that's cool. Cool. That kind of like actually leads right into the next question, which Mr. Fazani wants to know, what is your guys' favorite single moment in Destiny history? And so this is like what your favorite hero moment is for you or just in the game. His is watching the Whisper of the Worm secret quest unravel for the first time. So if you guys have like a favorite memory or encounter or moment for your guardian, that would be the time to do it. Let's start with Steven.
Definitely beating Vault of Glass for the first time. That was easily the number one number one moment for me. I remember hearing about the raid from, like, you know, friends, because I had just completed the story and people were talking about this vault of glass thing. And I was like, oh, okay, so is it like a strike? Is it like, I don't understand what you're saying. And I remember people were just like, no, dude, it's not like a strike. I don't know how to explain it. It's like crazy. Like, people are trying to do it right now. No one can do it. And I was super intrigued. And I remember jumping in there and completing it. Got Vex for the first time on the first run. And yeah, nothing will beat that moment. And then another moment that sadly I don't think we'll ever have again because of data miners. I remember just like walking around the tower and seeing people like have exotics on. And that was like when Destiny first came out. So you had no idea what exotics did or what kind of exotics there were out there in the wild. So seeing someone with like a new exotic would be so, so cool to me. And that feeling is unfortunately gone forever now.
you say it in a way that it's like, oh, why did they do that? I think that's just naturally what happens. You have a game that's brand new and you have those moments.
No, I'm not saying why did they do that. I'm saying that
moment. No, I know, but the way you say it, it's like it's gone forever. I mean, I think they've tried
it. It is gone forever.
For you, for sure. But it's
now they show you every exotic that comes out in the season.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I mean,
yeah, like, they tend to preview stuff to solve.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing new anymore.
It wasn't shown.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Occasionally,
that was
they
data
do.
Mines, but...
like, yeah, I was going to say, like the latest exotic missions, they try to do
like
it
they literally.
Data
oh,
mining.
Not the exotic mission. I'm talking about like the armor and stuff like that. Like, they literally put it in the commercials. Now.
No, I know. Yeah. Like, Steven's right. Before, we had literally no idea of nearly everything from Vex Mythic class to, you know, your special exotics for all the different classes. And now you mostly know 85, 95% of that. There's only a couple things that are hidden away.
Yeah. That kind of pairs with one of my moments. This is probably not my top one, but it was the whole Corridors of Time thing where people were just going insane trying to figure out that puzzle. And like the problem with that ended up being is the reward was just Bastion a week early, which we knew about already because it was like in the you know, the roadmap. But just I'm a sucker for any puzzle event, so any kind of mystery we've had, whether it's like the Whisper or Zero Hour or Presage or any of these things, like the things that, like, even if you dig deep into the data mines these days, you can maybe find, like, I still think those are really special moments when they happen, whether it's like a community puzzle or a secret quest. And we just don't see other games do that often. So even if the end results doesn't always kind of pan out to be like the coolest thing ever, like I think the chase of that and getting the community together to get excited about something that is mostly completely unknown is something that's really special to Destiny.
Cool.
I have a friend that I can rapid fire. Oh, sorry.
Sure.
No, you go, Dan.
So yeah, for me, it's really easy. It's getting Galahorn, getting Hawkmoon. I have the clip of when I got Hawkmoon and I lost my mind. Like getting those exotics to drop, because back in the day, it was such a big, big thing to happen. Those are definitely moments that stand out to me. But one that I was recently reflecting on was my first flawless raid was Vault of Glass, when only Vault of Glass was available. And it's still probably one of the harder raids to flawless, because you got the Gorgons that can spot you and you have the jumping puzzle, which you could, especially as a warlock, easily die on. And as I was jumping over, I hit the rock and there was this really bad bounce. It's probably still in Destiny. It bounced me back, then I hit another rock, it bounced me back, and there's no mantle in Destiny 1. So I like lose my mind for a few seconds and then I'm like, okay, I made it, everybody. And everybody else went through at that point, and we managed to get the flawless trophy in PlayStation 4 era. That's definitely one that sticks out in my mind.
Yeah, it's hard to choose. There's so many. I'm going to pick a different one then, which is literally just all the time we spent in Crota's End and defeating Crota, a kind of buggy boss with also trying to glitch your heavy ammo before you raid. And all the stuff that you would do to just try to get that done. And also at the time we were trying to earn, you know, I believe could you get Galahorn from there? You could, right?
Yeah.
Death Singer, you could.
You would get it at the Death Singers. But
that's where I got
doing
my
that raid.
I have a story about that one.
Yeah, but the big memory was, of course, when we found out that you could actually unplug your internet for a second. Because, and again, I want to remind that Crota would do stuff like you're in the middle of like DPSing and he just get up. which was a bug, and that you'd be so frustrated. You would literally at that point, you're like, I have to finish this, you know? And like, I remember hearing about it. I'm like, wait, I can unplug the internet for a second and plug it back in. And it's not going to like stop the whole raid. They're like, no, like it'll break Crota so you can finish it. I was like, I'm fighting back. I'm tired of his glitches. I'm going to glitch back. Yeah. But I remember that to this day. It's such a, you know, you don't want to obviously glitch the game to beat it. What fun is that? But in that case, the bugs were to a point that they were very unpredictable, and raids took a lot of effort to put people in. So anyway, I will never forget, like, okay, you ready? You ready? Ready? And everybody doing it at the same time is hilarious.
Fran Mirabella, when the going gets tough, cheat a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, download this
exploit. Exploit. We use the word exploit.
It is an exploit. It's true.
I would never cheat or cheese anything. I have to do it.
I thought it was very clear. The game was exploiting me, and that's not going
to happen on my watch. Yeah. CJ, do you have one?
I mean, I have a couple, but I think, yeah, similar things. We just all have those memories.
Beating
Steph
for the first time.
I mean, yeah, you know, I did that a few times. So that's no big deal. But yeah, I think everybody remembers their first Galahorn drop just because it was super special and like a super hard weapon to obtain. I kind of had the same thing with Hawkmoon, especially as a D1 player, you know, on PlayStation. I was able to get it the whole year. And then I actually did a Lighthouse run. And I did talk about this one time in Fireteam chat previously, where if your vault is full in Destiny 1, which it was also,
if...
when it wouldn't tell you what weapon dropped if you beat the activity. It would just go right to the postmaster. Great little quality of life that got added to Destiny 2, because my vault is always full. And so I one time remember beating trials, and I was like, again, and I never got Hawkmoon. And then I was like, oh wait, maybe because my vault was full. And then I looked, the vault's full. Sure enough, I go back to Brother Vance or whatever. And then like, I think, you know, there's the, well, you had the gear kiosk section in the reef there. And then, yeah, sure enough. Or postmaster there. And I had it, I had Hawkmoon. The problem was I got it like a week before Taken King. So I really only got a chance to experience Hawkmoon at full power for like, you know, like a week. But yeah, there's just so many. And the one that I was going to say with Crota, which you mentioned, Fran, you could get Galahorn at Death Star. We had a friend of ours, or a former colleague, actually, Craig Baird on, you know, really, really good friend, obviously, to a lot of us at IGN. And he would jump in the game every now and then. He's like, hey, bros. And he's like, you know, California guy. So he's got this vibe. You guys got any space, you know, for me to fly in? And we're like, oh, yeah, just wait. We're almost at Death Star.
I was there.
You were there, Fran. So sure enough, I can't remember, somebody had to leave it. And he flies in. He's like, Charles. Yeah, I'll be right there. Yeah, here we go. We flies in. And as he flies in,
we'd been playing already for like 6 hours, mind you.
Who knows how long. And then he flies in and he's like, hey guys, I'm here. Well, this is on my screen, Galahorn. And we all see, because it tells you in the flavor text at the bottom, like Craig Maradon has Galahorn dropped. And we're like, oh my gosh. So none of us had it at the time. He joins for like 10 seconds.
Yeah. And he beats out after that too.
And so I think for all the awesome Destiny memories that many of us had, like even trials and going to Lighthouse and stuff like that for the first time, you have all these moments of like envy, and that is almost equally as powerful sometimes, because you're like, I've been in, and there's so many stories still.
Fear
like
of
Travis
out,
Travis, even you, man, I'm gonna do this just because I lit you up on Twitter when this happened. I ran the newest raid once and have Eyes of Tomorrow, and I'm so sorry. And I saw you say that you played it how many times now?
Every week since the raid came out. So I've done the maximum amount.
That is coming up on 52. That is part of the Destiny game, and I'm sure you could have like the RNG conversation and whatever else. But it's
well, I was going to announce this later, but I did get Eyes of Tomorrow this week.
Oh, there you go!
Congrats!
I had a
tweet planned. I was going to say I can't believe Fireteam Chat ended before I got Eyes of Tomorrow, but now I can't say that. So
sorry, but yeah, congrats, man.
That's thank awesome. You. Yeah. Hey, there you go. It was worth it. I can't wait to shard that. anyway, my hero moment is, and I think this moment does not get enough credit in Destiny, is the Siege Engine encounter from Wrath of the Machines. I think that's like the best encounter in a raid, where you get to ride on top of the boss and crush over all the enemies and then fall off a cliff. That's just so, so cool. Always will be in my mind one of the better moments.
The guitar solo.
Okay. Yeah, and the guitar solo.
So good.
So good. Yeah. Yeah, so we're out of time here. I'm going to ask one last question. And by the way, if you submitted a question, thank you so much. I wrote all of them down. I knew I wasn't going to be able to have time to ask all of them because we only have an hour here. But the last one comes from Brett Groneman, which he wants to know, what do you guys think, when all things are said and done, Destiny's legacy will be in the larger video game world? Like, what do you think it'll have accomplished or contributed to gaming? And I think that's a pretty good question. Destin, maybe you could start us off.
Well, honestly, I think it has one of the best communities in gaming, period. It's just people from every walk of earth, I think is the expression, you know. They've done a lot for charity. I think people are going to remember all the charitable initiatives that they've done, even with the Bungie store and what they've done there. I don't think this game is going away anytime soon. I think Destiny is going to continue on for a very long time. Bungie has indicated as such anyway. And I think honestly their legacy is going to be how much good they've managed to do for the world and how many people felt like they had a home playing this game.
Great answer.
It's great, man.
You can't follow up something that eloquent. Yeah.
No, yeah, exactly.
Like, we are. All right, let's end it then.
There you go.
Let's
all right.
I remember a quote a long time ago that a lot of people made fun of where, I forget who was talking, but someone high up at Bungie where they were like, we want this to kind of be like our Star Wars. People are like, okay, you think you're going to make like your Star Wars? Like, let's calm down. But you know, where we are 7 years later, like it is my Star Wars. Like they did it for a lot of people. And like, it is certainly more relevant to my life than Star Wars is currently, maybe not globally, but I think that's something they achieved where like this past year, I've been wearing the Bungie mask for the pandemic. And like everywhere I go, it's not just that people would recognize the Destiny mask. It's that you get in like a 30-minute conversation about like the intricacies of Destiny, mm-hmm. like every time that happened. And that is a pretty unique game. Like, I know there's lots of MMOs and maybe it's not the first in that space, but I think it has carved out something that is entirely unique in gaming. And as we talked about earlier, kind of very unlikely to be replicated anytime soon. So I think it's got a bright future, but also a long-standing legacy too.
Yeah, I mean, I think for what it's worth, like, I'm 100% on the same page as you guys, the good they're doing, the quality of community, but Bungie has had a history of that before. I feel like Halo fits a lot of that. If you wore the Halo logo outside, the Bungie logo, even at that time, like similar reaction, they just have that. So, I mean, you have to give them credit for that, but I would go more just on the gameplay side. You know, they will be remembered in a way that many games are remembered for that moment, like Uncharted was perhaps, in the way that it just nailed the quality, the story, and everybody wanted to be Uncharted at that time, or you go back to say Zelda. And so with Destiny in its category of, you know, first person shooter that did the loot plus the live game service and now has transformed into something with the story, with the action MMO. Like, it sounds like a marketing pitch, but the reality is that's what everybody else is chasing, you know, on top of, you know, let's face it, microtransactions and free to play and all that. And they have really succeeded in a way that, as we touched on before, not many have. And so I think as you always look back on gaming, you're like, oh man, I remember the first time I played. And that game was something that people emulated. And like, I think it's going to have a place in time for a long time to come because of that.
All right. I think we should leave it there. We're out of time. I would really like to thank my special guests and returning panel members, Fran Mirabella, CJ Gibson, Stephen Rio. If you guys want to tell us where we can find you, that would be great. Plug yourselves.
Yeah, still playing Destiny a ton. You can find me over on Twitch all the time in the evening at FM3. If you just search for that on Twitch, it's easy. It does have an underscore, but it's Fran Mirabel the Third. That's the FM3 part, so you can find it pretty easily.
Awesome. CJ, got anything to promote?
Well, no, not to promote, but just at Gibson Films, and you know, maybe follow up on the end of that. Yeah, just it was really cool to be on this journey. I think that's the maybe the takeaway is that even like the show, it kind of evolves, you know, and so I always say to enjoy the journey. I think, you know, more often we all look at, you know, the loot, and the loot might be perceived as the destination. But, you know, even the time that I had at IGN, you know, working with super talented people there and Bungie, you know, we all kind of sometimes move on to different things. But yeah, the memories are special. The journey is special. And it's been great being here with everybody today and playing the Destiny game and meeting so many amazing people from the community. So at Gibson Films, that is where you can find me. Don't need to promote anything. just hanging out, being a guy on the internet.
How about you, Steven?
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat as CJ. I guess you can follow me on Twitter, at Stevryu, Stevryu. But besides that, I'm sure you'll see me in Destiny, especially with crossplay coming out. So if you see me walking around Venus or something, or not
with
Venus,
an amazing shader.
Yeah. Make sure you check out the fit in the
Venus
drip.
Confirmed.
Make sure you check out the drip and send a message.
All right. And you know where to find me. You know where to find Paul on Forbes, YouTube, and Twitter, and also Destin. And we're going to jump from this into the rest of the show. But thank you guys so much for your time. Give it up virtually for them. And Guardians out.
Guardians out.
Can't wait to be back for 400.
Exactly.
Episode 400. I'm excited.
And yes, the Guardians out. Oh, it's so terrible over this Wi-Fi thing.
Like, it really is.
We'll see you on episode 301.
Well, the rest of us are sticking around, but maybe we can get a Guardians out from you guys just for old time's sake. What do you say?
Try it.
Destiny,
you want to cue us up?
Yeah, you got to count down. It's got to be an It's got to be an epic disaster first.
It already is.
Yeah.
We got to like count it down, and we got to do a retake, and then.
All right, here we go. I'll say until next time, and then you guys just go. Okay.
Should we point at the camera and then
point
what's
directly
the time
at the
delay?
Camera?
All right. Okay.
So I'll say until next time, you guys all point and I'll catch you. So here we go. All right. Well, that's it for this episode, everybody. Until next time,
Guardians out.
Oh, God. That was bad.
That was so bad.
Awesome. That was a pleasure. So good seeing those guys again. Haven't seen a lot of them since we were physically in the IGN office together. So
I miss those guys.
Always good to do that. So now we're going to talk about Destiny news. This was actually a huge week since we last met. We had 2 weeks since our last episode and a lot has happened. We got Vault of Glass came out and we've now had a chance to play it. And some of us have got Vex Mythoclast. And then we also this week got some huge story developments with a really interesting cutscene. So maybe we should just start there with what's going on in the tower and at the helm space that we've been spending the most of our time this season and the new cutscene that happened. What was your reaction to the Fallen's take on Saint 14, Destin?
Yeah, wow. You know, so people might not know this, but I actually have been collecting all the cutscenes from every season, and I have these massive compilations on my personal YouTube. They don't do a ton of views, but I went back and watched the one when we actually save Saint, right? And he's basically slaughtering Fallen, and he's on his last leg. So they were about to finally defeat him, and we come in and we actually save him. And apparently he continued to terrorize the Fallen. And this week we got the alternative perspective about what is happening in this battle between basically Saint and the Fallen and what they experienced. It's really, really interesting because you made the choice to help him and he celebrates, and you almost revel in the fact that you're killing these Fallen, and then you're kind of like, oh wow, like look what I've been doing all this time. And to see, and Mithrax is actually a character in the very first season of Destiny 2. He's in a mission on Titan where you go through the campaign, and I think you might be able to kill him. I don't remember for sure. Yeah, I did not. I killed the knight.
Me too. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's really, really fascinating to see this turn of events, this sort of the way that they've crafted the story, and they brought in characters that we've actually seen in the game for such a long period of time. What was your reaction?
Yeah, I was complete surprise. I was not expecting at this point in the story. It seemed like a very odd beat, but it was like go and talk to. I actually thought something completely unrelated was going to happen because we can talk about this next. But there's kind of like a civil war in the tower that's brewing with Lakshmi. Yeah, and then that whole character who I hate Lakshmi now. Like before I was kind of like, oh, she's just a weird robot. Now I'm like, wow, I hate her. She's like the worst. But yeah, we can talk about that next. But the cutscene was awesome. I think it came at a perfect time when the season was sort of like on the downside of the roller coaster that CJ always talks about. It really helped humanize the Fallen. And I think they're doing a really good job humanizing our enemies lately. First the Cabal last season and now the Fallen. I'm interested to see what this is leading up to, us making alliances with these people we've been fighting for the past 7 years in Destiny and if that means we're actually going to unite against the darkness or if something else is happening. But it's really interesting to follow, and the cutscene was fantastic and made Saint 14. He's such a lovable, like, goofball. He's always like joking and is kind of, he's a bit of a corny character. And this side of him, I was just like, wow, they view him as just like a straight murderer. Like, he's just a monster. So it was really cool. Totally unexpected too.
I like that.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that this sort of set up the Lakshmi to civil war that's happening even more. What have been your thoughts these past couple of weeks with all that that's happening, Dustin? Like, this, the drama and the propaganda that Lakshmi is putting out into the city that's like anti-Fallen and this sort of thing that's happening. And then we had some additional movement on it this week, which is that it looks like Lakshmi might get her way. So pretty interesting.
Yeah. I have to wonder, is there a redemption arc for her? Because if you remember Osiris's backstory, he was also sort of a troublemaker in the tower, so to speak. And Lakshmi is taking this stance against an entire race of aliens. And, oh, your ether tanks were destroyed? Like, her nonchalant reaction to deal with it, basically. It's really messed up. And I have to wonder what's going on there. Why is Osiris so seemingly complacent about the situation? Saint seems, up until now, on Lakshmi's side, and it's going to be really, really interesting to see how that ends up unfolding. Is there going to be a point of contention within the tower with these two factions sort of trying to align, trying to be a team? Yeah, I don't really know what to expect about it. I don't like where she's at now. I have to wonder, what are they going to do with her character? Like, we're not going to kill her. She's not going to be like somebody that we fight. This is going to be a narrative journey that they're taking us on.
I don't know. I think there might. So my take on it, as a guy who's seen lots of time travel movies, is that Lakshmi is messing with the Vex network, which I have always thought in the lore is a very weird thing to do and seems kind of dangerous. And I can't believe the Vanguard is like letting that happen. But she is peering into the future and seeing this conflict between the Fallen and the Guardians and in the city, right? And so what I think is happening is it's one of those classic tropes in time travel movies where the person is afraid of this future that's coming, and their actions trying to stop it are actually the thing that starts it, right? Because if Lakshmi had just kept her mouth shut, I don't think there would have been a problem with the Fallen. The city wouldn't have hated the Fallen like they're starting to hate them now, and wouldn't have kind of let it boil to this conflict. And I think Lakshmi's heart is in the right place, but she's doing this in exactly the wrong way. And she's following one of the oldest time travel tricks in the book, right? Which is that, like, if you try to prevent something from happening, you might be the thing that's causing it. And I think that her being like, oh, the Fallen are going to betray us, that's why there's going to be this conflict. Either that, or she's misinterpreting this vision of the future where the Fallen are in a conflict. You know, for all we know, the Fallen could be in this conflict in the city where the Fallen are protecting us, and maybe she's just misinterpreting this vision from the future. So I think there's something going on there, but I think they're making Lakshmi out to be the villain, and I think we might end up taking her out, or the Vanguard taking her out, or benching her at the very least, or something happening, because I think she's really in deep with this Vex tech, and I maybe she's redeemable, but I kind of hope not. Cause at this point, it's like Civil War, Captain America versus Iron Man. And I'm all Captain America's side on this one. Like, I want Mithrax to get his way. And I feel like Lakshmi's just being very aggressive and foolhardy. So
I think she gets ostracized. And if that happens, that sets her up to come back later, potentially with the Vex as her ally. Cause the Vex have been largely hammered by us for so long. And if she, like, she's an exo, so maybe she can align there in an interesting way.
Yeah, there also might be some tie-in with the Witch Queen here, because during that video that we got after, she said the tower or the city was singing a song, and the tune to that song was the Savathun song.
Yeah.
And so it's possible maybe Lakshmi's being manipulated by Savathun, or this is going to kind of tie into the Witch Queen conflict, but I'm really excited to see where this goes. And speaking of the Witch Queen, this is sort of a good transition. Yeah. We also got our first glimpse at the Witch Queen in armor set that's coming. I think it was some of the same armor that we saw concepts for a couple months back. And it's very runic, very interesting. What was your reaction to all of the Witch Queen sort of hype that's starting to build?
Yeah, I mean, the armor, Old Russia, first of all, is what a lot of people pointed out as the location. And my tweet was, glad Bungie is finally getting into the kinky stuff with Destiny 2. And that got a pretty strong reaction on Twitter. I'm just joking around, though. I'm really excited to see Old Russia. It's been a location that's been in the concept art forever. And I am really, really excited to go there and find out what's the story there, what's happening.
Sorry, you mean Old Chicago, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Old Chicago. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, no, the audience is going to be confused. So for those of you that don't know this,
one last correction for the final episode.
Yeah, right. You know, hey, I know people are going to call you out for it. I make mistakes like that all the time. But for those of you who don't know, Old Chicago is a location that has been super alluded to, sort of like the Deepstone Crypt and now I'm forgetting the name. What's the name of the planet that we're on for Beyond Light?
Europa,
thank you. Europa was sort of one of those things that had been in the concept forever and that it never was in the game. Old Chicago is another example of these, and it's obviously where Chicago used to be, and it's a very swamp-like setting with like bogs and creepy alligator-looking people and stuff like that. And it was a very interesting place. So lots of fans are digging into this and thinking that maybe this is alluding to Old Chicago as being the setting for the Witch Queen. So
heck yeah.
Heck yeah, I would love that. I'm on Old Chicago team for, I've been on Old Chicago team for a long time. And I think we've talked about it before on the show. So that's really exciting. And then the final piece of news, or the final big thing that's happened since the last time we spoke is Vault of Glass Remaster came out, or Redux, if you want to call it that. I'm not sure what to call it. But the Vault of Glass re-release. You had a chance to play it, I take? Did you beat it on the first day?
I've done my four clears. I beat it on the first week, not the first day. I'm not doing day ones anymore. I'm done.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah,
right.
Not with the baby. Too much lack of sleep with the little one.
But, yeah, no worries.
It was fun to watch the day one raid. I was actually watching it. I was very glad I didn't do it. And it was cool going back to Vault of Glass and seeing the subtle changes that they made. Largely, it feels like the raid that I remember. Even though, yes, I realize there are changes, but at this point, having cleared it four or five times, I feel pretty good about the mechanics and how to do everything. Kudos. I can't wait until they bring back Taken King.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I'm very excited for, I would be really surprised if we didn't get in the content vault, King's Fall, during the year of Witch Queen, you know, since it's all Taken and Hive themed anyway. So I would love that, but yeah, Vault of Glass, I actually did attempt a day one. I've tried to do all of the day ones at least. Unfortunately, this time around, I only had like a 4 or 5 hour window because I was working on IGN reviews and previews on a very tight deadline because E3 is coming up and we got a bunch of projects. And so I didn't end up finishing it on day one, but I did finish it the next day once contest mode was disabled and it was a million times easier. And I got Vex Mythiclast on my first clear, just like I did in D1. And I immediately went back into Vault of Glass and got the Catalyst, and I've been playing around with it. My review of Vex Mythiclast, if you're wondering if you should grind for it out there, listeners, it's a pretty decent PvE weapon. It definitely melts, feels good. And its alternate fire mode is interesting. I wouldn't say it's super powerful. It doesn't one-shot most things like you would hope a linear fusion rifle would. But it can do pretty decent DPS, like 45K per shot. I would not recommend it in PvP. It requires way too many auto rifle like kills to charge up. And I just haven't really found a place in the meta. So it is definitely not at the same level that Vex Mythiclast was the first week of Vault of Glass in D1 before they immediately patched it because it was overpowered. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. I'm also still figuring out how it accepts fusion rifle or auto rifle mods. I'm doing some experimenting there because I'm really not sure. I'm sure somebody has made a video, but that's just my time with it. I haven't been able to figure out which it accepts yet.
I'm chasing that before I chase the new leg armor. I've been watching today in Destiny and I'm like, where's the leg armor for the 1310? Right? You know?
Yeah. I was actually lucky. I got the full armor as well. So the only thing I'm chasing now are some of the weapons that I missed. But it's been a really good couple of weeks for me in Destiny loot wise between that and finally getting Eyes of Tomorrow, which I'll talk about later. But yeah, it's been very good. So that's all the news we've got. It was an awesome 2 weeks, but I'm sure by the next time we do Fireteam Chat, whenever that ends up happening, there will be a ton more news. But what's going on this week.
There was one more thing, Travis.
Oh, was there?
Stasis nerfs.
Oh, God. How could
I feel like
that?
I can play PvP again.
That's right. Yeah, we need to talk about that. Yeah. I actually have not played PvP since the nerf because I've been busy planning this episode since the last 2 days or 3 days or whatever. I hear, and actually I'm sad that Paul couldn't stay for this segment because I think you were too. You guys were both on the previous episode saying there was no way they could fix stasis without just completely taking it out of the PvP. And I was saying, well,
and they basically took it out of PvP. So it's fixed.
they just nerfed it so much that it's kind of useless in PvP. And now there's backlash, of course, on PvE side. People are saying Titan Behemoth is now actually not good in PvE, which is interesting. it also makes me very sad for the new Titan Exotic, which helps nerf stasis if you're wearing those boots. And now they're kind of useless because, you know, why would you ever wear those? I'm very excited to hop into PvP this weekend. I'm very excited.
I'm tremendously happy. I love the balance of the non-stasis supers, so the light supers. So I'm really, really happy about this. Yeah, nerf it into the ground and start bringing it back up. I think that needed to happen for the health of the PvP sandbox. And they'll figure out how to get the PvE back where it is. It's going to take some time, but they needed to do something drastic, and they did, and I'm happy they did personally.
Yes,
I feel like I could play the game again. It just it wasn't fun in PvP for so long, and like just to ruin that whole aspect of the game, it's really, really a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I think this is the right move. They don't have to take it out of the game, but if they make it so that it's so weak, nobody uses it, and then they can slowly incrementally bring it back up while they're figuring it out, I think that is preferable to just making it so dominant and just keeping it dominant for as long as they did. Maybe they should have done this a couple months ago, but I'm glad it finally happened, and I'm really excited to play PvP. I'm going to try out trials this weekend and see how much the meta's changed. I'm sure all of my loadouts aren't going to make sense anymore, so that'll be fun. That's it. So that's news. Next time we're on the show, I'm sure we'll have a ton more news since we're moving away from the weekly model. But it's been a pleasure. And next up, we've got a community video. Destin, we put this together for you, myself, members from the community, people who have been on the show, and a special shout out to Ebontis, who helped me edit it, and our favorite Teddy, who helped me collect assets for it and do some of the work, pre-work on this. So Destin, you haven't seen this video. We're going to get your live reactions after watching it. So Orion, if you could roll it, that'd be great.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show.
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 Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for 300 wonderful episodes.
Wow, 300 episodes.
300 episodes.
300 episodes.
Congratulations on 300 episodes. It was a hell of a run.
Who in their right mind would even listen to a bunch of nerds talk about a dead game each week for almost 7 years?
Congratulations on your 300th episode, you guys. Huge shout out to the guys on the show and podcast for inviting me on it. I really appreciate all the time that you guys have taken on making such a cool show. You know, once a guardian, always a guardian.
From the hype man of Twitch, thank y'all so much for all the episodes and content that you've given us. From the hype man to you guys. We appreciate you.
Hey, Destin. Just wanted to say thank you for allowing me to be a part of Fireteam Chat for a little while here. It has been an absolute blast. I've loved every time I've been on, and it's been such an honor that you made me a co-host. You're amazing. You've been a great friend, and I will miss doing the show with you.
Howdy, Harry, Destin, and everyone at Fireteam Chat. I just want to say a huge thank you from me for all the countless hours that you guys have provided for the rest of the Destiny community all these years. It's been a blast. It's really sad to see it go, but I wish each and every single one of you the best of luck in whatever endeavors you guys may do in future. Thank you.
Hey, Destin. I just wanted to give a very quick thank you to you and everyone else involved with Fireteam Chat over the
many, many years that it's been a thing. You've provided me personally with countless hours of entertainment, and you've been generous enough to lend your voice to the Destiny community, which is incredible.
Hey, fellas, congratulations on 300 episodes of Fireteam Chat. What an accomplishment. I still remember when you folks were recording in the small, dinky little closet area where Fireteam Chat started. Those were some of my favorite episodes to watch back in the day. I really appreciate all that you've done. I know that you folks are going to do great things in the future. Thanks for putting on the show for the last 300 episodes.
Hey, Fireteam Chat, it is Ebontis here, and I just wanted to say thank you to each and every person who has been involved with Fireteam Chat for all of these amazing 300 episodes. Destin, the glue keeping it together, everybody who's been a co-host over the years, and everybody who's been helping with production as well. You guys have all done an amazing job. Thank you for 7 years of entertainment on Fridays and just being part of this community of Destiny that we all love. And honestly, I can't wait to see what comes next for both this game and all of you there at IGN. Thank you.
So exciting and good to see that a great show run by great people has had the continued success of Fireteam Chat. One of my favorite Fireteam Chat moments is it was right around last Wish time, the raid race, and Fran was kind of upset that he wasn't able to power level for the raid. So I remember Fran and Destin getting into let's call it a discussion about leveling up for the raid, and Fran, you know, that was the infamous power per hour Fran rant, and Destin was basically like, get good, you know. it was hilarious. I love it. As far as Destin, man, personally, just thank you for the opportunity, the belief, the faith that you had in me, that you showed in me, giving me a chance to be on the show. You know, that was a big honor for me. We're going to miss you, man.
The legendary Destin Legarry and true icon in the Destiny community. You know, a guy who's really inspired us, you know, for the consistency and the level of attention and passion that he has for this game that we love. It's just truly inspiring to see him fight and push and continue to have that show on IGN and be one of the longest, you know, shows kind of running. So 300, it's been an honor. It's been a pleasure. Destin, you are a legend. Salute to you on your journey. Much love.
And I have often asserted that Destiny's greatest accomplishment, long after it's gone, will be the community and friendships it built, like Halo before it. Fireteam Chat is the realization of that thesis. When I saw episode 46 live in 2015, I was inspired to ask myself, how do I do that? Almost 4 years later, I got the opportunity to come on stage live at GuardianCon 2019 and finally reveal that guy, Teddy, who the FTC crew kept subtly mentioning for so long. Destin, you championed this thing that no one else would for longer than anyone thought possible. And for that, the community thanks you. You also gave me a chance, some guy you met on the internet, and we just happened by sheer luck and determination to beat Last Wish 63rd. It was that tribulation, all the other stuff, and in between that forged such a wonderful friendship. So thank you, and congrats for 300 episodes.
I just wanted to say thank you so much for doing Fireteam Chat and letting me be a part of it. That was crazy and a huge mistake. I was a listener of Fireteam Chat for years, ever before I was on the show. Listened to it religiously every week. Also took every opportunity I could to talk to Steve and CJ and Fran and Destin and James Duggan and in the halls of IGN and just get my daily fix of talking about Destiny with anybody that I could. And I'm honored and humbled to have been friends with any of you guys, and to be on the show was, I still can't believe that that even happened. Thank you very much for letting me be a part of the show. And as weird as it feels to say, thank you, Bungie, which, you know, I'm used to saying Bungie, please, and this just feels wrong. But thank you, Bungie, for making this game that we all care about so much. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next.
Thank you for putting so much energy and passion into covering Destiny as community for so many years. I want to pass along our admiration from everyone at Bungie for what you have accomplished. A big thanks to Destin, Brian, Travis, CJ, and everyone else at IGN who was on the mic or behind the scenes helping to put FTC together over the years. Anyways, thanks again, and we'll see you in Destiny.
And until next time, Guardians out.
Guardians out.
Guardians out.
Guardians out.
Guardians out.
Guardians out.
Remember, Guardians make their own fate.
That was very, very nice, Travis. Thank you. Thank you for doing that, and Ebontis for the edit. You know, I don't really know what to say. I said it in the opening monologue that you don't really realize how much of an impact you have until people talk about it. But also, you know, the show's more than just me. It's the people who watch the show. It's the people who have decided to do their own thing, and make a positive impact on the community. And it's been just amazing to see how much it has grown. Destiny's not about any one show or one person. It's a community, and in a way, I don't really feel like I'm leaving it, because of course I'm gonna still be playing. I just won't be doing Fireteam Chat every week, but of course we will be back for the big stuff. Thank you everybody who sent in a clip. Thank you everybody who's watched or said something positive. I really, really appreciate all of you, and thank you, Travis, for all your work these last few weeks to keep the show going up until episode 300.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to do it. And with that, I think we're ready for a new segment, which was actually suggested by Lang Solo, one of my beloved followers. Thank you very much for this great suggestion. He suggested that for episode 300, since we're getting a little sentimental and touchy-feely here, instead of doing a Bungie please, we could do a Bungie thanks. And so if you have one thing that you would like to thank them for, and in classic Bungie please manner, it can be as pedantic and nitpicky as you'd like it to be. And so I have a perfect example this week that I've been champing at the bit to talk about, which is thank you, Bungie, for giving me Eyes of Tomorrow. I know it was hard for you to do it. I know you really didn't want me to have that weapon, but I got it, and I got it before Fireteam Chat's weekly news cadence ended. So I'm happy to report that happened. My exotic collection is complete, especially the Vex Mythoclast. Couldn't have come at a better time. So yeah, I'm feeling the love. But seriously, thanks for making this game and you know, letting me be a part of it in any way that I was able to find a way to do it. Yeah, thank you.
Ryan, where'd you come from? You made it.
Oh, what is this? Where am I? I was doing work, and then suddenly I just, this box is, what is it?
Yeah, you know, better late than ever, but is there anything more Brian than him showing up like 2 minutes before the episode ends, right?
Yeah, we're in the middle of E3 planning, so I appreciate you making the time. We're in the Bungie thanks segment. Do you have any thank yous for Bungie?
Thank you for Warlocks. That is it. No, yeah, like, well, if it, that's the joke one, a more serious but also kind of joke one, thank you for Telesto. Nothing has been more exciting, like every big update, than seeing what Telesto can do to break the game. And after so many bug fixes and so many adjustments, Bungie, you can't do anything to get that gun to stop breaking the game. So thank you for that one. But on a more serious note, I guess, like, without sounding more cliche, the game, right? Like, you know, I've been playing this game since the alpha came out in 2014. If it came out, maybe even the alpha came out in 2013, I don't remember. But, you know, when the first playable demo came out, you know, I started playing this game and, like, fell in love instantly. You know, there have been also, you know, hard times where you step away from the game for a long time because you get an exotic from a character class that you're not even playing yet, so it pisses you off and you stop playing for like 6 months. But, you know, they've done a great job of, like, reeling me back in every time, and, you know, and every time it's a blast, and I've made tons of friends, you know, playing that game. The friend game is real as much as it's been memed on. And then also we got to do this show for, like, that's, you know, for 6+ years, right? Like, I wasn't on it the whole time, but I was always behind the scenes from its conception. So it's been cool to see it, like, grow and become what it is now. So yeah, like, this game has been amazing, and I thank Bungie for it.
Yeah, that leaves you, Destin.
All right, well, I wrote a few thoughts. So this one's sort of interesting. So to Bungie, I just want to say thank you for creating this game, because what this game has done is it's created an amazing community. Just watching the community rally behind charitable causes, rally behind each other, and having a strong, positive community is something that very few games can do. And you've managed to do that. You have an awesome, vibrant community, and I love seeing that. Secondarily, it is a place that a lot of people call home. Destiny for the last 7 years has sort of been a through line in my life story. At my wedding, I jokingly recorded a video with my wife challenging friend to a raid face off, right? And you know, many Destiny things have happened that have coincided with real life things happening in my life. And I don't think I'm the only one that has had that sort of experience with the game. It's definitely something special. And I've made a lot of friends. So it's a place where people feel accepted. You see somebody wearing a Destiny hat, you can usually talk to them about their experience with Destiny. And sometimes, you know, you just strike up a conversation and make new friends in real life. Like Brian, Travis, Paul on the show, Fran, CJ, those are probably friends that I will know and cherish for the rest of my life, because this game somehow brought us together to complain about Vault Space, talk about Telesto, and make memories together. And that is something truly special. So thank you for that, Bungie.
Well, all right. Well, that was been Bungie. Thanks. Brian, did you have something else to say?
No, I was just saying, well said to Destin.
Yeah. Well said indeed. That concludes episode 300. I think you can take us out, Destin.
Yeah. Well, I think there's only one way to end a show that you've done for about 7 years, and that's with a poorly synced outro. So we're going to keep with the tradition. So I hope you'll join me at home, as cheesy as it sounds, or in your car or at work or wherever you're watching or listening to this. Because with that said, we have reached the end of this show. I hope you're ready for it, because that's it for this episode. This is where you point. So until next time, everybody,
Guardians out.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned, as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.